We count you as part of our church. We ask that you would allow yourself and avail yourself to be committed to on a weekly basis of watching and listening to us and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God, growing in the Lord. The Holy Spirit gave me a word for us, and this morning reiterated this word to me, and some of it was personal for me. Some of it was things that I have been believing God for that he was telling me that it is today, it is now, and that I will reap the benefit of my faithfulness to what he has watched me and heard me say. But here is for all of us. There are specific places that God wants you to be. These places will be where you will have favor, where you'll have opportunity, and promotion will be in your life. It is inclusive of the result because of your obedience to the call of God that is on your life. Many of you are in ministry at the church. Many of you are in ministry outside the church. Hopefully all of us are. And in those places, God is saying that this breakthrough is manifesting in a different level that we've been talking about. Let me explain it in a different way, and that was this is this morning. This is what he was saying to me. At one point, we were the patient, and now we are the physician. Follow the thought that he gave me. God healed your addiction in the past. Now you are the conduit to be able to heal others with their addictions. God didn't heal you just so that you can be healed. He wants you to become the healer. God didn't bless you so you can be blessed. He blessed you so you can be a blessing to others. Don't just stay a grateful patient. Become a grateful physician, seeing miracles manifest through you. Scripture says, "Give, and it shall be given to you." In the series that we began a while ago, and we gave you the first message, and then we did a little Valentine's message for a couple of weeks. We were talking about generosity, a generous life that changes everything. This is what God is bringing the church into. He's bringing us into a greater revelation of an anointing that we received when all of us, when we were born again. We are finding out that generosity comes from the heart. It is who you are, not really what you do. Having a generous heart is who you have become. And because you are that, that's who you are, then everything you do, everything you accomplish in life is accomplished through the attitude or the heart of generosity or graciousness. When we began this series in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 1 and 2, it said, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." We also read in Luke chapter 6, remember this? "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, we spent a lot of time in the introductory message is that we asked the question, did you see money in these passages? And so what we learned and what we found out is that these scriptures that many use to teach about giving money, really that it is not the primary meaning of the message regarding money. It is talking about a heart of generosity. It is talking about how you live out your life and how you respond to every area of your life. In being generous, it's about the attitude of the heart. And speaking of the attitude of the heart, and my wife and how precious she is, and saying that she still loves me after 42 years, I want to just to tell you, you know how she told you that for a while that she really didn't fall in love with me? Do you remember the story of Paul when he had scales on his eyes? And that was only for 3 days, but she had scales on her eyes for 2 months. And finally they fell off and she saw the real me and she fell in love. Anyway, let's go on. Some of you are going to make a beeline to her right after the message. It's good to laugh, isn't it? It's good to be full of joy because of the attitude of the heart. So with that understanding, we all came in agreement last time that we need to develop a generous heart. We also talked about what Deuteronomy 15 said, and I began giving you the 4 points to develop the attitude of the heart. So what we're doing is we're developing the heart. We're developing how the heart reacts. Because remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So everything we are is determined on where our heart is or the attitude of our heart and how our heart thinks. Yes, your heart thinks. All right, so Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 said, if there is among you a poor man, remember the illustration of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Remember, it's not primary money again. Whatever he needs, and we always go to money. All right, again, everywhere you find in Scripture, it will talk about money. It will talk about finances. It will talk about offerings. It'll talk about a tithe. It'll talk about all these things, which we will talk about. But I want you to understand that all the things of giving money doesn't work well with a lot of people because of the attitude of the heart. Because the heart has not been developed in being generous. And so the first point that we talked about is that we must deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal. Once you're born again, you have to deal with a selfish heart. Because when you're born again, we're going to find out, and I'm going to reiterate this and repeat this today because I want you really to hear this, is that when before you were born again, you were selfish. No matter what you did, there was selfishness because of the flesh. The flesh is selfish. But when you became born again, you were given a power of generosity. And being born again, there's a transformation of the heart. But the heart then needs to be developed, just like your soul, man, needs to be developed and trained and discipled. Your heart needs to be developed to walk in the ways of being born again. All right? So we read in verse 9, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Because remember, every 7 years, was a year of release, that any debts that anybody had, we all would want this today, any debts that we had would be released. And so the picture was, don't get that evil thought in your heart. If a poor man or someone needed something and you had the ability to be generous in that area to give, do not think, I'm not going to give because he's going to pay me back, but he can't pay me back because next year it's going to be released. See, it's about the attitude of the heart, that we're always thinking about, if I do this, then what do I get out of it? If I do this, then what's going to happen? So it's not talking about that we are evil. It's talking about that selfishness is something that always is there wanting to rule our life. And we have to always develop and to remove and deal with selfishness in our heart. We all have to do that. No matter how long you've known the Lord, we need to deal with selfishness. So our second point that we gave you, and we really didn't cover much, let's go to the second point now regarding our heart, that we must deal with a grieving heart. A grieving heart. We're going to go a little deeper with this. Remember, this is our battle. This is the battle that every one of us, not some, not new believers, not believers that are struggling in life, this is everyone, even those that are spiritually mature. This is our battle. Greed attacks us before we give. Remember, it's not just talking about money, it's talking about the heart. Greed attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. Let me read verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved. When you give to him, because for this thing, or when you give with generosity, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. So when we deal with the heart and we develop a heart of generosity and we get to a place of dealing with the attacks that says, oh, don't give because something could happen to your car, something could happen, you know, to your house or refrigerator or whatever, and automatically the enemy comes in and comes after you. And he will tell you those things and try to get you out. Why? Because the devil knows that if you develop this heart of graciousness and generosity, then everything you do, you open the door for heaven to bless you. It is a lifestyle of blessing. Things will happen. You'll get an envelope in the mail of money that comes. Maybe you paid a bill too much, and the money comes, but it comes 6 months later, and it's where there's a need, or someone is led of the Lord. These things happen because, now listen to me, I'm going to just like mess our doctrines a little bit. It's not just because of your faith. You can have great belief, but have a wrong attitude in the heart, and you stop the blessings of God. I'm a faith guy. I believe God. I proclaim the word of God in my life. Do I deal with things in my life? Absolutely I do. Does the enemy come against me with sickness and everything? Yes, through the years. But I'm a faith guy, and I do not, because of the attitude of the heart, when things come against me, it doesn't change my heart. It doesn't change the way I think or the way I speak, because out of the abundance of my heart, I speak. And when I speak the word of God 99.9% of the time. Remember, I said this last week, there's holes in my holy too, as well as, love your pastor, as well as yours. So we're not perfect, but we're learning a lifestyle of developing our heart. in the midst of stuff that goes on, when things go awry, when we get emotional, when sickness comes in, and all the different things, and why this, why that, why did this happen, why did that happen to that person? I thought they were Christian. I thought they were all these things that people think. Let me just tell you, is grief attacks you in many different ways. And greed is the beginning stage of it. Why does it happen to me and not this person? How come this has happened? God, I prayed, I believed you, and why is this happening to me? I want to tell you, that's a lifelong journey of the attack of the enemy to come after you and to tell you those things. People will say to me at times, you know, how come it's happening always to me? But see, right away, that selfishness gets in there and it begins to think, woe is me. How come me? And I want to tell you, it's not because you're any less than anybody else, because it's a spiritual thing that happens. It's a spiritual attack, and we need to understand this, of where this stuff comes from. And so greed and grief comes from the enemy. So the question, have you ever given, I'm repeating here, believing God spoke to you, and right after you gave, whatever it was that you gave, not just money, time, or a kind word, or whatever, something in your house breaks. Or someone comes in and says something that hurts your feelings. And then you wonder, why, God, I'm doing all this for you. I'm in ministry for you. And I led, you know, on your belt, I've led 20 people to the Lord this past year. And the Lord is cheering and excited and glad. But he's trying to tell you through Scripture that there's an enemy that is trying to get your heart to be corrupted. So the devil says, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been that generous. You shouldn't have been that forgiving. You shouldn't have done, and he begins, whatever you are facing in your life. So greed attacks you before you're generous, and grief attacks you after you're generous. Now, let me kind of give you an example. I love to plant seed. If you would look in the box over there, I returned my tithe, and then I had a tithe envelope that I wrote an amount of money. It's not a lot of money. Okay, I'm like you. I budget. And I put it in there, and I just write my name, the date, and I write seed on it. I've told you this before. And so I love to, at times, I can't always, but I love to carry $10 and $20 bills to give away. And I was going to pull something out, but I don't have a $20 bill. Michelle's got a $20 bill. Thank you. How gracious are you? Let me give you a secret. I gave this to her so she could walk up and give me the 20. But let me just ask her a question. You just gave me $20. Are you grieving now? Yeah. It's hard. Just a little bit. You were thinking you didn't have to go just to McDonald's. You could go to Wendy's. Yeah, for lunch. But you see, right away when you do something, right away when I give seed. Matter of fact, I was laughing when I was coming down here greeting people because I put the seed in. I mean, returning my tithe, it's like... That's lifestyle. That's the first thing I do, all right? But the seed, I walked up and I said, And I started laughing because right away, what I'm telling you, what Scripture just told us, is I had a thought come in my head. And I've done this for decades. I mean, I started doing it with $5 bills because that's all I could afford. But the reality is, then I became a developed heart. And then God, watch this, God then said, I'm going to bless you with more so you can give away more. So now it's $20. To some of you, you might think, man, you must not be that good. It's only 20 bucks, you know. Thought it'd be 100 by now. But, you know, the reality is we have to understand is that God blesses those that are generous. And when you are generous, he will bless you with more so you can be more generous because he can touch other lives through you and he can trust you. Now, Michelle said it's kind of hard. She's not grieving because bottom line, what she did is she gave back to me what was already mine. Are you seeing that? See, when you are generous, when you are tithing, when we get to that place and we touch on that in another week, that you need to understand the grief should not be there because your heart's developed understanding that returning the tithe, it's not yours. Matter of fact, we're going to find out today, everything is owned by God. So if we develop our heart understanding everything is owned by God, he could give you $1 million tomorrow. But he's not going to give a selfish heart $1 million. He's going to give one that is generous, and it's something that is built. It's like discipleship. When you go to OSL, you start with a beginning class, and then you get deeper, and then you get deeper. And the structure of that. So everything you do, by the way, Michelle, here you go. I'm planting seed. Have a good lunch. Go to Wendy's. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So did you get the point? Don't ever grieve when you're giving back to God what's already his. Everything that you have, the Lord owns. He's given to you to steward a generous life. Okay, again, we use money as an example, but it's a soft answer. Scripture says in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. People ask me at times and say, how come there's always something going on? Someone's always mad at me. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if our heart is angry and bitter and upset, out of the mouth will come these same words, and these same words that come out of our mouth is because the heart, and when I say it, understand this, we're not talking about the spirit, we're talking about the heart. The heart is corrupted because it's bitter, it's angry. Your spirit is brand new. Your spirit is whole. Your spirit cannot sin, but it's the heart and it's the soul that struggle in this life. So, what scripture we're learning, and we'll spend about another 5 or 6 weeks on this, and we're going to cover all different types of areas. How about at work? How about all the different things? How about starting a business? How about all this? Generosity. Why do you start a business? Make money. Why do you start a business? Make money. Well, that's why everybody wants to start a business. How about that God called you to do it? He's given you a gift to do it, and he wants you to be generous with what God gave you in the ability in your ministry and also your business, the marketplace. See, the marketplace is one of the greater areas of ministry that you and I could absolutely walk in. Let's look at the third point. Remember, we're talking about developing the attitude of the heart. Here it is again. Develop a generous heart. So now let me go deeper and focus on what that means. In Deuteronomy 15:14, it says, "You shall supply liberally or generously from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress, from what the Lord your God has blessed you with." Bottom line, because it's God's anyways, you shall give to him. So a generous heart is when you are giving and you're led of the Holy Spirit to give. I know this cliche in church, but I think you're going to understand this in a deeper way, because God owns everything. Whatever you give to somebody is God giving it to them through you. You are the conduit of the blessing. Now, could God cause quail to appear fried with mashed potatoes? Yes. Like the Old Testament, quail, all the different things he gave Israel. Could God do that? Absolutely. But what's great about being born again and a new covenant is that he's given you authority. He's given you power to make wealth. He's given you the power to move in a realm of your life, relationships, to develop relationships, to develop a business, to develop a neighborhood that is what God asks you to do in your neighborhood, to help develop a church, to help develop children's ministry, to move and be generous with your time, with your efforts, with your gifts. Someone is pulled over and they got a flat tire and you got the equipment in your car, fix the tire. But, you know, you got to go and have some coffee and spend 2 hours, you know, looking at your phone. Well, how about taking 45 minutes of that time and help that person? See, it's just not talking about money. And what happens with the church and what happens with people who are watching online and or the world, they always think that it's always talking about money. I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore because that pastor, that's all he ever talked about was money. And the reality is with me, my council, church council says, not because we need the money, but the council says we need to talk more about the finances, you know, and tithe and all that, because that is a spiritual truth that also needs to be covered in a deep way. And I agree with that. But you know what? Because I'm a pastor of 46 years, and I've heard that stuff all these years. Sometimes, you know, in my own heart and flesh, wrong, is I don't want to cover it because I don't want to get the backlash. When you're talking about tithe, well, I don't believe in, you know what? It's in Scripture, and we have to talk about it. And so I have godly men and women on my council that encourages me, not that I'm doing anything wrong, that encourages me to talk on these things. And so I do. Since I've been here, the council has been very specific in areas, because I bring about everything I go over. This is what I'm going to be teaching on. This is what I'm doing. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit's saying. I do that with the shepherd elders. I do it with staff. Because why? We're leaders. We do church as a team. But bottom line, what I'm trying to tell you is at times I struggle at times because what I hear all the time. I go to the club and work out and people find out I'm a minister, you know, and I walk in and they see my ring because I wear my ring most of the time, so that people know that I'm married. I'm not at the club to pick up on somebody. I'm happily married. And by the way, how old do you have to get for that to stop? I mean, really, you know? 120, 130, I don't know what it is. Anyways, let's go on. But we have to develop this heart and give liberally. Why is that? Because the enemy will come in and try to bring you back into selfishness. Again, we were born selfish. Proof? How many of you have had children? How many of you had to teach them how to share? More than once. More than 100 times. Okay, because children are born being selfish. You have to teach them to share. You have to develop a heart. So, but when you're born again, you've been given a power to be generous. And it's a spiritual power that can overwhelm the selfishness and destroy every work of the enemy of bringing you into being selfish. Did you know as a believer, you want to be generous? How many of you ever said things like, if I hit the lotto, I'm going to build a new sanctuary. I'm going to get new carpet in pastor's office. See, I'm not asking you. Oh, I love to have fun. I'm not asking you to do something you don't want to do. But I'm telling you, according to Scripture, that the enemy comes after you and wants to remove the place of blessing from you. The place of blessing is the obedience to your call and being generous in that call in every area of your life. Every area of your life. Ask the question to yourself, have you been generous? Scripture tells us to steward what we have well, which means to manage it well. The reason we need to steward, manage what we have, because if we don't steward well, we won't have it to give. God is a great business God. God will give to those and prosper those that he knows he can trust to give away. So church, you're born again. You have victory over selfishness. You have victory over greed. And you have victory over grief. But you have to develop it. How do you do that? You develop it in your heart. That it becomes a joy to give. Years ago, I was working with some young men. And these men had AIDS. It was about 26 to 28 years ago. One of them said to me, and he was probably about a month away from passing away. He said to me, did you know there was a woman in the Bible that gave 2 pennies? Talking about mites. I said, yes, I read about that too. Isn't that an amazing story? He says, I want to give something. I said, okay, why don't you pray and I'll come back tomorrow and you can tell me what you want to give and I'll make sure that that takes place. And so I left and I went home that night. I was praying for him. And when I went back the next day, he said, God told me I was to give so-and-so, I'm not using the names because we're now on social media, to give so-and-so something. I said, wonderful. Well, what is it? And he said, it's my prized possession. I won't tell you what it is, because some people figure it out. It's my prized possession. But Pastor, you know what I did last night? I had tears in my eyes. I said, God, can I just give him my stamp collection? Now, you know what? That's cute when they're 3 years old. But that's not cute when they're 23. Because what that is God is saying, I want you to do this. And right away, greed comes in and attacks you. But because the heart wasn't developed, then he decided he wanted something else to be done. Bottom line, end of the story, I talked to him about it, and he asked me to go and get that and to give it to the certain person that he wanted to have it. You see, the enemy comes in and has stolen from you God's blessing before you gave. And the reality is in essence, the scripture before, and I'm talking to me too, all right? So when we're talking about giving and all this, it's hard because, man, we budget, we try to do things, we give and stuff happens, and we're in debt, and we have to use a credit card, and we have to do this, we have to do that, and we face all this stuff in our life. But I'm telling you, God opens the door when we are generous. And we do it without grief. And the reason why we do it without grief is because we develop the heart, saying, God, this is yours anyways. Whatever you want me to do. And I've been encouraged by some of the counsel. Express some personal things that you've done. I've done this one time before in the 18 years, almost 18 years, July, I'll be here, back here. And I've given away cars. I've given away television sets. Not one that I was throwing away. I mean, new. I paid personally for a year and a half of someone's school bill. But because when I was young, I was a miser. I don't know if you know what that is. Look it up. Google it. Not now, but after service. And so I would save all the time. So I had a lot of money when I went to school. I worked 3 years before I went to school. So I worked full-time 3 years and socked away about 80% of the money. Okay? And so I had that, and I did all that. Now, at the beginning, it was just because I'm cool. But then when I really got to understand that God blesses a generous heart, then I began to develop my heart. It's a joy to give. It's a joy that I know Michelle can go to Wendy's. She can go anywhere she wants. But it's a joy that of bringing joy to other people. If you ask, I'm German. I always give away food. Okay, I always give away stuff. There's, you know, oh, you need that? And many times I'll have something. Oh, you need that? Here, have it. All right, now I don't do it stupidly where it's just like, whatever, and then I go home to my wife and say, we don't have any money to pay bills or anything. You know what I'm saying? But if God told me to give everything that I have, I would do it. Bottom line, why? Because I've developed a generous heart. It is one of my greatest joys of giving away. So he gave that, but he had to learn in his dying days what a generous heart is. But I want to promise you that in his latter days, there was such joy because that last month that he was alive, every time I came in, he says, you should have seen his face when he came in to tell me thank you. You should. And it just like, it wasn't that he gave and look what I gave, because it was worth a lot of money. And he said, you just should have seen. And he had such joy. And I believe that joy carried through into his last breath. I want to live my life that way, church. I want to live my life that I was obedient to God in everything that he asked me to do. Because why? I didn't allow greed to stop me, and I didn't allow grief to hinder me in the next time. Now, it's a little tough saying this, but God is saying this to all of us. In this ability we have in developing a generous heart, we just need to grow up in our generosity. The difference between a mature believer and an immature believer is immature believers can be selfish. New believers are learning. But when a mature believer returns to selfishness, what it does, it not only breaks your heart of joy, but it breaks everyone that you've been ministering to also. I have a responsibility because I have developed a heart of generosity. I realize now if I become selfish, if I become grieving because of what I've done for others or someone missed, you know, I did something nice for them and soft answer, and all of a sudden they just turn their back on me and cuss me out and just didn't understand me or left a friendship. I don't get hurt. I don't get opinionated and or offended anymore because I know my joy is I did the right thing. I follow the Lord. And I promise you, if you will grab a hold of this truth, it's going to remove some of the pain that some of you are facing. Those watching online, if you're watching me, some of you are in such pain to the point it's hard for you to even go to church of being around because church hurt you. And I want to tell you, but if you develop that heart, you can come back to church and have such joy of worshiping together with us. So we've learned, deal with a selfish heart, deal with a grieving heart, develop a generous heart, and the last that I began with this morning is develop a grateful heart, a grateful heart. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command. Everyone say command. Amen. It's not an ask, it's a command. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Talking about heart. I just want all of us to know this. God is commanding his children to be grateful. Here's the reason. We had nothing and were a slave, and God says, I bought you. We weren't a slave in the natural, like our history or the history of the world, but we were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to bondage. We were enslaved to bitterness and anger and offense and unforgiveness. But when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we were redeemed from all of that power. verse 15 applies to us. You and I need to remember we were slaves of sin and God has redeemed us. Therefore, he says, I am commanding you to be generous because everything you have belongs to me. When God asks you to give extravagantly, you thank God with a grateful heart because you are delivered from the power of greed and the power of grief. So here's something we should never forget. Never get over that you've been redeemed. Never get over that you've been saved. In order to keep a grateful heart, never get over Jesus died for you and set you free. Will there be people that abuse? Will there be people that do wrong when you do right? Absolutely. But what God is asking us to be grateful because of what he's done, and he owns everything, and when you give that soft answer, when you walk away from wanting to knock someone out, when you do the things that you do, the right thing, God will bless you. You set yourself in the place of blessing. Faith will happen. Your faith will grow. You will see things because of the word in you. You will dive into the word. You're not mad at God. You're not mad at the church. And you'll get into the word. You'll keep in study. You'll come to Bible studies. You'll do the things that you do. Why? Because you are grateful for what he's done for you. So what I'm really trying to tell you, if you remember we talked about David, like David, remind yourself how God saved you. And you won't have a problem of being generous. Let's all stand. How you doing? You received the word? And if you took it as in I'm talking down to anybody, and if you took it as in the enemy's going, see, talking about money again, it's a spirit of greed that just attacked your mind and your heart. Begin to rise up. Begin to get excited. Matter of fact, next week, let me just challenge you. When I get up and I start talking about being generous and I touch on money, clap. Get excited. Because there are many people that the spirit of poverty rules them because they're no longer generous. They're angry. And that's not us. Could be us. But let's not allow an angry church to happen. Let's allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength. Why? Because we have a heart that no longer allows greed to come in. In Jesus' name, I don't receive that. It's a joy. Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to do anymore? No, son, no, daughter. Just, I want you to do this. Okay, praise God. And watch God say, I can trust him. I can trust her. Here, have some more. Here, have some more. Here, go ahead, have some more. Well, what do you want me to give it to? Yeah, this is for you. I've had God say to me, someone, because of some things I've done for a long time with them, about 25 years, walked up to me, gave me a card, and said, happy birthday. I opened it up. It's only happened once. But I opened it up, and it was $10,000. I went to him, I said, what do you want? Is this for the building fund? I was almost like, I don't, you know, that I didn't ask for, you know, type of thing. And you know what he said? No, this is for you. God told me to give it to you. And you better use it for you. Nice golf clubs I got. No, anyways. Use it for you. Then I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do this with this? Is there something in the church we're going to do? Is there something new you want us to do and start? And I can. He said, did you listen to your brother? Well done, son. It's for you. Of course, I tithe on it. 10% offering. And I gave 10% away. Boy, I enjoyed that 70%. But that's when I absolutely saw that God blesses a generous heart. Amen. And when I say this, that's what God will do. He'll drop things in your life. Throughout the years, I've gone to a hotel, saw someone in a hotel. I mean, we're talking in another state. Set up the room. Going to be a bill of about $600 for the few days that I was there. And I was at a conference. And I went to pay the bill. They said, no bill. There was a guy who owned the hotel, was at the conference. And I prayed for him. And I was struggling at that time to be able to meet all the bills, but I knew I was supposed to go to this. I prayed for him, and he told him, Pastor Klaus, free of charge. No payment. That stuff happens. I was at a restaurant the other day. Someone paid for your meal. I said, who? Where are they going tomorrow? No, anyway. But you see, you know, we get so, spiritual. It's a lifestyle. It happens all the time. Why? Because God knows if he gives me something, my first question is, God, what do you want me to do with it? In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing. Absolute, overwhelming revelation. And a transformation of what a heart that is generous is. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, devil. I come against you in Jesus' name when you are wanting to cause corruption in our hearts regarding what we have. In Jesus' name, I just blow you away by the power of Jesus' name. And I proclaim a blessing over every person that sees me and hears my voice. Thank you, Lord. Bless our homes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. See you tonight, 6:00.